Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good day, dear friends. Welcome to all of you as we celebrate the memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And of course, it always follows the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus because we know those hearts beat as one. They are two hearts filled with the eternal will of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And that's why they're united together as two celebrations in the liturgical year. So we enter into the heart of Jesus together and through the heart of Mary as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Father, we bless you, we thank you, and we love you. We love you on behalf of all that you are and all that you have created, and that all love and thanksgiving and adoration may return to you through the heart of Mary is why we pray. And it's the way we pray, and it is the conclusion of all of our prayers, that you be glorified, Eternal Father, by the power of your own divine will, reigning in Jesus, first of all, in his incarnation, his humanity, and reigning in Mary through the gift of her Immaculate Conception. Heavenly Father, help us because we do not have the divine nature and we do not have the exemption from original sin, but we do have your will nonetheless, given to us from all eternity and now shared with us through the gift of the understanding, the knowledge, the divine science, restored to us and to the Church through Luisa Picaretta. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp just a little ray of that divine light today. Give us just a little more insight and healing for our wounded human wills so that our desire will grow and our hearts will be more and more united with the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Because we know that's the only way the will of God can come to reign in us. So come, divine will, think in our thoughts. Circulate in our memory, intellect, and will. Speak in our speaking. Listen in our listening. Beat in our heartbeats. And breathe in our breathing. May every thought, word, and deed be a perfect act of love and glory and thanksgiving on behalf of all souls from Adam to the last. We pray. Amen. And as always, O Mary, through your Immaculate Heart, help each and every one of us and all of humanity to come once again into that eternal reign of God's will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. St. Hannibal de Francia, we also celebrated recently, pray for us and all you angels and saints. Pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome once again as we continue our study of Volume 19. It's great to be live programming with you again today. There's always something a little more, dynamic and electric when we're together in actual time. And really, if you think about it, that's what God wants us to be and to do here on earth in the divine will is to be with him in time and, of course, in place, wherever we are. The divine will, of course, transcends all of that. But at the same time, our humanity is here and it is limited to place and time until we die. And so Jesus submitted himself to that limitation through the incarnation of being here on earth in place and time. Mary, of course, as a human creature, was submitted to that. And so we have to accept our own humanity in the sense that, yes, we're doing things in a divine way, an eternal way, but we're also doing them in a human way, in a very earthly way. And it's precisely when these come together that the kingdom of God's will happens on earth, and it actually takes root here in our world. And that's why it's so important that all our little lives as tiny and insignificant specks of sand as they can appear to be are so important because they are now the means, the instrument through which instruments through which this reign of God's will is returning. And of course, it's been here since Jesus came to earth. He inaugurated that kingdom on earth. It was in some ways being fashioned even before Jesus, prepared for at least, but Jesus is the kingdom. So when he comes, it's fully present in his personhood, in his humanity and divinity. But now it's been present in the church. But God says, now the day's come, as we're going to hear in a moment, the day has come when the fullness of this life is what I want for you on earth. And to come to the fullness of life, we have to have at least a movement, a progress towards the fullness of understanding in a way that we haven't had before. So it's not a new revelation, but it is a deeper and more full appreciation and practical help to live the fullness of our faith, the divine revelation come to us through Jesus and Mary. So without further comment, let me begin with passage dated June 6th, 1926. Date very close to us, as it will be, I believe, Monday is the 6th. So Louisa writes in her little title, Jesus wants our link with everything he has done. Everything. Just as God established the epoch, that is the time and the era of redemption, so it is for the kingdom of his will. The redemption is means to help man and woman. The divine will is origin and end of man. Very crucial distinction he's going to make throughout the Book of Heaven, but we're going to hear it, I think, in a very beautiful and clear, precise way here. So Louisa begins, I was doing my acts in the supreme will according to my usual way. And I tried to trace everything my Jesus and my celestial mama, creation, and all the creatures did. Now, while I was doing this, my sweet Jesus helped me by making present to me all of his acts, which I was omitting. It is all of the ones that Jesus had done that Louisa was not tracing, she was not following, not having the capacity to do it. And Jesus, all goodness, would make his act present to me, saying to me, my daughter, in my will, all of my acts are all present as though lined up together. Look, here are all the acts of my childhood. There are all my tears, my wailings. There is also when, as a little child, I picked flowers while walking through the fields. So come to place your I love you on the flowers I pick and on my hands that stretched out to pick them. It was you that I looked at in those flowers. It was you that I picked as tiny little flower of my will. Don't you want then to keep me company with your love and all my acts as a child, amusing yourself with me in these innocent acts? Now keep looking. There is when a little child, tired from crying for souls, I would have some very short sleep. But before closing my eyes, I wanted you so that you might favor my sleep. First, in other words, to help me sleep, to lull me to sleep. First, I wanted to see you kiss my tears, by impressing your I love you in each tear, to have me close my eyes, to sleep with the lullaby of your I love you. But do not leave me alone while I sleep. Wait until I wake up, so that just as you closed my sleep, in other words, closed my eyes in sleep, you may open my vigil, is be help him to wake as well, with your I love you. My daughter, one for whom it was established that she would live in my will, was inseparable from me, even though at that time you were not there. So Louisa was not physically present on earth when Jesus was a child. But he says, my will made you present and gave me your company, your acts, your I love you. And do you know what one I love you and my will means? That I love you encloses an eternal happiness, a divine love. And for my tender age, that was enough to make me happy and to form a sea of joy all around me, enough to make me put aside all the bitternesses that the other creatures gave me. But if you do not follow me in all my acts, there will be a void of your acts in my will, and I will remain isolated without your company. But I want your link with everything I have done, because since one is the will that unites us, as a consequence, one must be the act. It's a very, perhaps, childlike and simple and very beautiful way of understanding our union with Jesus. But, dear friends, it's not that easy to do. Even Louisa would fail at times, you know, to cover everything. What do we call that kind of uniting ourselves with the acts of Jesus? We call those rounds, of course, so rounds of redemption in this case, of saying, Jesus, I love you on you're picking the flowers, your tears, your sleep, and everything that Jesus did. So it's very beautiful, very simple. But what Jesus is saying to us is that, as simple as it is the very means by which he came to make it possible for us to be saved, but also the means now by which we complete all of the works of God, and that we fulfill the eternal plan, the purpose for which we were created through this simple way of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always have that much patience in doing this, you know, taking lots of time to hours perhaps to sit and go through all the acts of Jesus and Mary. Louisa had that kind of time, and it could, you know, it sounds like it was even not always easy for her. She also had, of course, other duties in her life there, even though she was bedridden. But our lives are much busier than Louisa's for the most part, and have lots of motion in our lives. So to sit and do these rounds may not be so easy for us. But the point of it is that what Jesus is saying here to us, and I think through Louisa, is that it's not just a way of prayer to friends. It's not just sitting and doing rounds. Those are wonderful when we can do them, and they're great practice. It's like, you know, if we don't practice prayer, certain times of prayer, then our lives won't be a prayer. But ultimately, it's not about simply a time we spend in prayer. It is about a way of life. And this is so very important that we get this. Some people come to the divine will and love to, because it's a beautiful way to pray, and it is, and everything is a prayer. But at the same time, God wants every act we're doing. This is the point he's saying here. When you unite every act of yours with every act of Jesus, that's when we're most able to fulfill our purpose in life, which is to be one with him. And the reason it's so important is, as we said at the beginning of the program, is because that's the way Jesus lived in his humanity in time on earth. It's the way Mary lived. Mary did the most, you know, we can say, well, Jesus performed miracles and did all these great things. It's true. But Mary didn't do even that. Mary was hidden for the most part throughout her life. Mary did the most simple, you know, kinds of routine things that all of us do, any human person would do, without fanfare, without being known or applauded. You know, well, maybe a little bit at the end of her life, who knows, but certainly not throughout most of her life. And so our lives too, like Mary's, and can be one with his. But what the heart, and it seems to me what the real message of the hearts of Jesus and Mary is all about, it's a beautiful devotion. Certainly we want to keep that devotion in the church. But it's much more than a devotion. As Pope Benedict says, it's the very heart of our faith, because in the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary reigns the will of God. And the kingdom of God is there, fully present. And so everything they did and all of their human acts, they had a human hearts as well as the divine will in their souls. But everything they were doing, all of their acts were coming from one single intention, one single source. And it was, of course, first of all, their own human willingness to unite their will with that of the Father. And this was as true of Mary as it was of Jesus. She would have never been his mother. You know, Jesus' life is all about the will of the Father, but so is Mary's. You know, your will be done. Let it be done to me in everything Mary did. And uniting ourselves as they did and trying to do it as they did it perfectly. Of course, we don't. But we're trying to make our acts as consistently one with theirs. And to some extent, consciously, you know, aware of it as we can, though we can never be always aware of it. But trying to unite this breath, this heartbeat, this step, you know, whatever it is I'm doing in this very moment with what they have done already, because through them we have our link to the will of God. You see, God's will is in us, but it came to us through Jesus and Mary. You see, they are the means. Without the incarnation, none of this would be possible. And without Mary, the incarnation would not be possible. So we rely on them, and we go through them. So God has given us now this deeper, more full understanding of how to live the union with God in the everyday, moment-to-moment activities of our life. And there are those who will say, oh, this is way too mystical, this is way too spiritual, otherworldly, interior for me. Well, I even said that at the beginning. It's easy to think that. Some of the writings can seem just so out there, you know. But once you really get into it and you start to understand it, this is the most practical spirituality I've ever found, because it ties us down to everything we do. You see, every moment of our lives, not just when I go to pray or go to Mass or do acts of charity or have, you know, this or that. No, it comes from within. It's the intention that is the soul of the act, Jesus says. And the intention is far more important coming from within me than the action I do itself. You know, there are hermits who have lived in the church who've never done, have done very little in terms of material or physical acts of charity for others. But the intention of their hearts and the love in their hearts and their lives united with God have made them great, great saints. And Jesus says, one act done in the power of God's will is greater than all the acts of all the other saints put together. So it's really what's coming from within, but what's within has got to be then manifest, and if you will, projected onto what we're doing physically and materially in our lives, because that's who we are, you see. Jesus has a human heart. Jesus has a human soul, and in that soul reigns the eternal will of the Most Holy Trinity by nature, united with his human soul. We have it by grace, because God's will's now been given to us through sanctifying grace of baptism. That's how we have it. And now he wants us to have it more and more by our knowledge and our understanding of it. So we have here this, I think, just a great reminder of how practical this way of life is. And it is nothing to scoff at, dear friends, or to say, oh, this is for, you know, the saints and the ones who can spend all day in prayer. Yeah, that's great if you can, but most of us can't. 99.9% of us don't spend our whole day in prayer. We have many things to do. So Jesus is showing Louisa now, don't miss any of this link with me through the very particular thing you're doing right now. Okay. Now you can say, well, I can't remember all the time. I can't either. Some of us, you know, as we get older, our memories are even less good at remembering. But what he's saying is have that intention in your heart as often and as deeply rooted as you can, so that the intention is going to the desire, and most of all, the love will be there. Yesterday we were celebrating birthday of one of our elder friars, and he was saying, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is really all about love, as he preached at the Mass. And he said St. Francis was always, very often seen in tears. Not always. He was also very happy at times, but he was often seen in tears. And people say, why are you crying all the time? And his answer was very simple. He said, because love is not loved. And you see, what we're doing in the will of God is loving love. We're trying to return love to love, to give our human love as best we can, which is an act of our human will, united to the divine love, the eternal love of the Holy Trinity, which is an act of their eternal will, and to complete the circle. We've received it, so let's now give it back. I love you too. You see, love is not loved. Our job, if you want to know what living in the divine will, basically it's loving love. It's returning love. And that's all the heart of Jesus is about. It's all the heart of Mary is about. We don't do it in the abstract. You don't love God simply by a good feeling. You love God by laying down your life for others. We love God by loving our neighbor, failing so often as we do, but getting up, starting again, forgiving and being forgiven, and continuing to love more and more. We try to love God on behalf of all and through all, through our love for all. It can't be done in the abstract. It's got to be done in the reality of this world. See, and that's what all the scriptures say. That's what Jesus is repeating over and over. It's what all the gospels and all the letters and everything else, even the Old Testament, is talking about. Well, Jesus goes on. Long diversion. But keep following me, Jesus says to Louisa. Look at me here. When at my tender age of 2 or 3 years, I would withdraw from my mama, kneeling with my little arms stretched in the shape of the cross, I prayed to my celestial Father that he would have pity on mankind. And in my open little arms, I embraced all generations. My position was excruciating. So little, on my knees with my arms stretched out, crying and praying. My mama could not have endured seeing me. Her maternal love that loved me so much would have made her succumb. Therefore, you come. You who do not have the love of my mama, we don't have perfect love as Mary did, come to sustain my little arms, to dry my tears, place an I love you of your own upon that ground against which my little knees were leaning, so that it may not be so hard for me. And then throw yourself into my little arms that I may offer you to my celestial Father as the daughter of my will. Even from that time, I called you. And when I saw myself alone, abandoned by all, I would say to myself, if everyone else leaves me, the newborn of my will never leave me alone. Isolation is too hard for me. Therefore, my act awaits yours and your company. Again, you see, his act awaits our act and our company. Our act united to his keeps the acts of Jesus and therefore Jesus himself company. That's what he's asking for. Yes, we keep him company with the Blessed Sacrament, and in the Blessed Sacrament we keep him company in so many ways in our lives. But he's giving us a way now, and he's calling us to keep him company all the time, always in everything we do. He says, if everybody else is going to leave me, I know that the newborn of my will never leave me alone. I was reflecting on the gospel for today, for the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is the gospel of second chapter Luke, when Jesus is lost in the temple and Mary says, you know, they finally find him in the temple, and his mother says, son, how could you do this to us? You know, we've been searching for you. Didn't you know you were going to cause us all this anguish? You know, how many parents have said those exact same words? You know, how many times have we caused our parents to say those words? How could you do this to us? You see. Well, Mary suffered what all mothers suffer. In that moment, and certainly on the cross, the loss of her son. She felt that loss keenly. And so she's showing us also that Jesus wants our company, and Mary wants us to be with her in keeping Jesus company, you see. She's also showing us that sometimes in life there are problems, there are misunderstandings, there's broken relationships between parents and children, between siblings. You know, there's all kinds of conflicts and divisions and that happen. But there's also the possibility of reconciliation. And the mercy of God is always there, flowing from his divine will. But Mary, the lesson is, I think, is Mary searching for Jesus, is the kind of love and desire he wants to see in us, trying to keep him company, trying to not lose him, trying to not abandon him in his need in the world today. And we do that, of course, through our neighbor, as well as through our intention to be with Jesus. Jesus is in our neighbor. As I was flying from Brussels last week, I was in the chapel there, a beautiful Catholic chapel with the Blessed Sacrament. And I was thinking, Lord, you were here present in this terrible tragedy that happened, you know, a couple of months ago. And as I was praying, the chaplain, the priest of the chapel came in, who works there at the airport, a marvelous man doing tremendous work, especially now with the staff, helping them through the trauma of the great crisis in the Brussels airport. And we were talking, he was sharing with me how things were happening now. And he said, you know, the bishop was giving a sermon, and he was saying to the people, you know, where was God that day? You know, where is God during these terrible terrorist attacks and the tragedies of our lives that happen in so many ways? The bishop said, God was on the floor in those victims, and God was in all those who rushed to help them. You see, God is present in these acts, and he wants to be present in every act we do, and he wants us to be present to him with our acts. This is what the divine will is about. Louisa goes on, but who can say all that my sweet Jesus made present to me of all the acts of his life? If I wanted to tell them all, I would take too long. I should fill entire volumes, and therefore I will stop here. So it's also a very good place for us to stop and have a short musical interlude. Evan is in the studio, who will do that for us. So thank you, Evan. And thanks to all of you listening. Please don't leave us. Stay with us. We're going to be right back to complete this passage of June 6, 1926, volume 19 of Louisa's Book of Heaven. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to our program, The Will of God, with Father Robert Young.
And welcome, dear friends, once again, as we continue our program today. Again, we're reading from Volume 19 of Luisa's 36-volume diary, The Book of Heaven. The passage is dated June 6, 1926, on this Memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Luisa goes on. After this, I was saying to my lovable Jesus, "My love, if you so much love that your most holy will be known and reign with its full dominion in the midst of creatures, why did you not form, together with redemption, the fulfillment of your most holy will when you came upon earth, united with your celestial mama, who, just as she obtained the longed-for Redeemer, could also obtain the longed-for fiat, that is, the third fiat of sanctification. Your visible presence would have helped and facilitated the kingdom of the supreme will upon earth in an admirable way. But doing it through this poor, wretched, and incapable creature seems to me as if it would not have all the glory and the total triumph." And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, said to me, "My daughter, everything was established, the epoch and the time, both that of redemption and that for making my will known upon earth so that it might reign. It was established that my redemption was to serve as means of help. Redemption had not been the origin of man, but it arose as means after man moved away from his origin." Okay, so redemption is not the end. Redemption is a means to get us back to where we were. On the other hand, my will was the origin of man and the end in which he must enclose himself. All things have their origin from my will, and everything must return to it. And if not everyone will do it in time, no one will be able to escape it in eternity. You see, not everybody's going to do the will of God in time, but you will do it in eternity, like it or not, one place or another, because that's the way it is. Once our lives here on earth end, we are going to be fulfilling the will of God according to God's will. We are still free in one sense, certainly in heaven, but only free to act within the reign of God's will. We cannot act outside, even in hell. Hell is, in fact, the fact that those souls who are there are bound to God's will for them for all eternity. He says, "Therefore, also for this reason, the primacy is always of my will." The will of God is everything. It's the start, it's the beginning, the Alpha and the end, the Omega. So he's saying redemption comes in between. You see, there's creation, redemption to help us get back to what we lost, and then the fulfillment and the completion of everything, which is the sanctification. He says, "Now, in order to form redemption, I needed a virgin mother, conceived without the shadow of original sin. Because having to take on human flesh, it was appropriate for me, eternal Word, not to take an infected blood to form my most holy humanity." You know, he didn't want an imperfect DNA or infected blood to form his humanity. "Now, in order to make my will known so that it might reign, I do not need to have a second mother according to the natural order." He doesn't need another mother, another woman to conceive Jesus in her womb. "But rather, I need a second mother according to the order of grace." Very beautiful, isn't it? Jesus needs second mothers. Who is my mother, my brother, my sister? Those who do the will of my Father. I need second mothers, and Luisa's one of them, you see, according to the order of grace. "In fact, in order for my will to reign, I have no need of another humanity. but to give such knowledge of it that drawn by its prodigies, its beauty and sanctity, and by the immense good that comes to them, creatures may submit with all love to its dominion. See, he doesn't need another humanity to come back to earth. He has one humanity that's glorified now in heaven. But he says, what I need to do is give knowledge of that humanity. See, what was the humanity of Jesus doing on earth? What was it about? It was about fulfilling this eternal plan of the Father to bring the kingdom of God's will back to earth, back to humanity. So that we would be so attracted by his prodigies, his miracles, his teachings, you know, all the things he did, his mercy, his kindness, his love, by his beauty, his holiness, and by all of the immense goods that he gives us through his humanity, that through all that we could surrender, we could submit, we could give ourselves with all love to the dominion of God's will. That was the reason he came to us, that all of us could come back into this reign, this dominion, this kingdom of God's will. Therefore, in choosing you, he says to Louisa, for the mission of my will, I took you from the common stock, according to the natural order. But for the decorum, that is, for the propriety of my will, I had to raise you so high according to the order of grace that not one infected shadow might remain in your soul, because of which my will might feel reluctant to descend and reign in you. Now, just as the pure blood of the Immaculate Virgin was needed to form my humanity, to be able to redeem people, so was the purity, the candidness, the sanctity, the beauty of your soul needed to form in you the life of my will. It's a very beautiful compliment to Louisa. I'm sure she had a little trouble writing that one. You know, just as he chose the Mary because of her immaculate conception, but also because of the beauty of her own human creatureliness. So he says to Louisa, I chose you, and I really appreciate this word here. He says, because of your candidness. We could say, because she was just so open and sincere as a little child. There was no, as Jesus says of Nathaniel, there's no duplicity in Mary. You know, there's no hiding over. There's no cover up. There's no hypocrisy. She's just right there. It's just Mary is who she is, and that's all she is before others. You know, as St. Francis would say, who I am before God, that I am, and nothing more, nothing less. You know, that candidness, that beauty of her, of Louisa's soul. And if you look in just at her images, her pictures, you can see that beauty, especially in her eyes, that simplicity and humility and innocence. He says, I needed that in your soul in order to form in you the life of my will. Just as by forming my humanity in the womb of my mama, this humanity gave itself to all. It is understood to those who want it as means of salvation, of light, and of sanctity. In the same way, this life of my will, which has been formed in you, will give itself to all, to make itself known, and to acquire its dominion. So he's saying again, this is all going to happen now through Louisa, and it is. It has happened. It is ongoing. I can tell you, you know, stories forever about the way this is happening in the world today, and I'm so privileged to witness it as I travel and as I just saw it happening in Europe and certainly here all over the United States. He says, had I wanted to free you, to Louisa, of original sin as I did my own celestial mama, so that my will might take life in you, no one would have given a thought to letting my will reign in them. You see, if Louisa were not kind of weak and you know, little creature like us in so many ways, and she is weak in her own humanity. You know, he says, if you had been perfect without original sin like my mama, who would have ever thought it could happen to them? You see, and this is why, you know, it's so beautiful as we read through the Book of Heaven, we're not only absorbing these sublime truths of church teaching and scripture and doctrine, and the great teaching lessons of heaven itself, we're learning them through this little frail woman, you know, so, who's always complaining and begging forgiveness and seeing her faults and failings. And it's just such a wonderful way for us, I think, to see the two come together. Because if it's possible in Louisa, it's possible in us, you see. They would have said, one needs to be a second mother of Jesus to have her privileges so that the life of the supreme will might reign in them. You see, we need to be immaculately conceived like Mary if the divine will is going to reign in us. On the other hand, by knowing that you are from their stock, conceived just like them, if they want it, helped by their own goodwill, they have to want it, have to desire this, they too will be able to know the supreme will and what they must do to let it reign in them, the good that comes to them, the earthly and the heavenly happiness prepared in a distinct way for those who will let my will reign. You see, if they come to know it through you, Luis, and they can see it in you, they will also come to see the great good that it brings their lives. My redemption was to serve to plant the tree of my will, which, watered with my blood, cultivated and hoed, you know, worked around this little plant with my sweat and unheard of pains, fertilized with the sacrament, first would make the tree develop, then would make the flowers bloom, and finally would make the heavenly fruit of my will mature. This image is one of the most common he uses for our way of understanding how these three fiats work together. You know, in creation, God plants the tree. In a sense, the tree dies because of man's failure to live the life of God's will. Jesus comes to restore the plant, you know, the tree of life by his cross, which is the new tree of life. And the flowers begin to bloom from this church, this tree that God has created, this tree that Jesus has renewed in creation. And the flowers are, of course, the lives of all the faithful, the saints in heaven, the saints on earth, the saints in purgatory, communion of saints, the sacraments, the miracles, the teachings, the doctrine of the church, the tradition, the beautiful liturgy. Just think of the music of the church. You know, all of these flowers that are just so glorious, coming, blossoming on this tree of redemption. But finally, he says, now comes the heavenly fruit of my will that's maturing on the tree. It's not perfect. It won't be perfectly mature till Jesus returns. But it's there for us to pick. It's there for us to eat. This is the fruit of God's will that is now our daily bread. And in order to make these precious fruits mature, the course of my 33 years was not enough. Nor were the creatures prepared and disposed to receive a food so delicate, all of heaven, which I was giving. You see. So Jesus' life on earth was not enough for people to come to know this. As he says in other places, they could barely grasp just, you know, kind of the basics of the gospel, of his teachings, even his moral teachings. But he says the creatures would not have been prepared to receive this kind of fruit at that time. Therefore, I contented myself with planting the tree, leaving all possible means to make it grow beautiful and gigantic. Gigantic it is. It, you know, it's that mustard seed that becomes a tree that covers all the earth for everyone to nest. and at the appropriate time, as the fruits are about to mature, and so that they may be picked, I chose you. In a way, all very special, to make known to you the good it contains, and how I want to raise the creature back to her origin. See, this is now he's coming to this moment in history, 2,000 years after the church was inaugurated by Jesus. Banishing her will, the cause for which she descended from her happy state, she will eat of these precious fruits. Who is she? Well, Louisa, but all of us, which will give her such taste as to remove from her all the infection of passions and of her own will, and give back to her the dominion of my will. You know, it's a really a great, I think, word and image for us to think of what our the way our human will infects our lives and our world with passions. Of course, we all know what those passions are. The anger, the envy, the jealousy, the lust, the gluttony, the greed, all of these human desires that flow from the human will rampant in the world is more perhaps than ever before. They've always been there, since the fall of Adam and Eve, and will probably always be there till the end of time. But Jesus is saying, now I'm giving you the taste. This fruit will give you a taste for something else. Not passion fruit, but for the fruit of my will, of my kingdom, you see. So by giving up her own will, which was the cause of her unhappiness, humanity he's speaking of here in general, and I will remove, he says, she will now eat this precious fruit, which will give her an appetite, a greater taste. You know how when you eat a good food for the first time, you want more, and you grow in your appetite for it. So that this new taste and appetite would remove from her the infection of the passions and her own will, giving back to her the dominion of my will. You know, that's part of the journey, dear friends. You know, just saying, yes, I want the will of God and trying to live this way every day, that's great, and that's the first thing we want to do. That's primary, first. Do our acts in the will of God. Try to love God as best we can, but there's also something else going on, kind of the undercurrent, and that is dying to these passions, dying to the human will, dying to our resentments, dear friends, our unforgiveness. You know, even hatred at times for other people, our desire for vengeance, all of these things that the human will, you know, produces to cause all the conflicts and divisions in the world. No, he says, embracing everything as though in one single embrace, my will unite everything again together, creation, redemption, and the fulfillment of the purpose for which all things were created. That is, that my will be known, loved, and done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's the only prayer of Jesus, that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's why he came, it's why the incarnation happened, it's why Mary was immaculately conceived, it's why everything has taken place until now. And so Louisa responds, Jesus, my love, the more you tell me, the more I feel the weight of my littleness. I fear that I might be an obstacle to the kingdom of your will on earth. You see, this fear that comes up so often in Louisa. Fear is another passion, by the way. See, and Jesus says, there should be no fear once you're in the kingdom of my will. You're my child. You belong to me, to the Father. You're living in the Father's house now. There's no worry about anything. You see, well, maybe I need to, you know, give up some of that anxiety and insecurity and fear in my life. But Louisa has it too. You know, it's part of her littleness is ours. She says, I'm afraid I'm going to do something to get in the way. I'm going to prevent this kingdom from happening. She says, "Oh, if you and my mama, Mary, had done this directly while being on earth, your will would have had its full effect." But Jesus, interrupting my speaking, she keeps going back to that same point, added, "My daughter, our task was perfectly accomplished. Now you be attentive in accomplishing your task." This is now for you to do. See, we are now carrying out the mission of Jesus on earth. So this is your task. This is your mission. More so, since the sovereign queen and I are untouchable by pain, we are in the state of impassivity. It means you can't be affected by anything. And of complete glory. Therefore, pain's no longer have anything to do with us. But you, on the contrary, have the pains as help to impetrate the supreme fiat, new knowledges, new graces. And even though I am in heaven, I will be hidden in you to form the kingdom of my will. My power is always the same. While being in heaven, I can do what I would have done while being visible on earth. When I want it, and the creature lends herself, giving all of herself as a prey to my will, I invest her and make her do what I myself would do. Therefore, be attentive and mind your own task. Therefore, be attentive and keep your eyes, your attention fixed on your own mission, on your task, which is what? To live every moment in the will of God without the passions getting in the way, without the fears, without the anxieties. Dear friends, I know this sounds, you know, pie in the sky. It can sound, well, that's easy, you know, to say, but I've got this person to take care of and this problem in my life and financial difficulties, etc. We all do. In one way or another, all of us have our struggles, our trials, our crosses. They come in infinite number of forms, at least as many forms as there are people. But dear friends, this is the mission. Somehow let it go. Give it to God. Live in His will. Don't just do His will. Let His will take over your life. Immerse yourself in it as often as you can in every single act you're doing. And you will find that peace. I promise you, you will find that peace that the world cannot give, that your passions can never give you. Only the peace that Christ and the will of the Most Holy Trinity can bring to you. It's my prayer for you today and for all of us in the world. And yes, the world is a mess, we could say, and is at odds and so broken in so many ways. But dear friends, the will of God is infinitely greater. And the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. May God bless you, keep you always in that heaven, that peace, and that joy of the kingdom of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, keep you always. Stay with us at Radio Maria. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.